Hey, my name is Dustin Yankowski. I'm one of the campus life pastors at LifePoint in Westerville. This week in our Now Playing series, we are looking at the movie Twisters. I don't know about you, but I vividly remember the original movie Twister coming out that this is a sequel to, and it was a blockbuster. It was pretty much the definition of a blockbuster. I really enjoyed it. And so I confess that, you know, when this movie got announced, I was a little nervous that it was going to, you know, tarnish the legacy of sorts. But yeah, this movie, Twisters, follows the character Kate Turner. She's a meteorologist and she's turned storm chaser. And through her research, she believes that it's possible to extinguish a tornado. I'm not really into the science of it, but something about disrupting the upward air thrust. And if she can do that, therefore, she could save lives, save homes, save whole communities from the carnage that it leaves. And so what they do is they chase a tornado to test her theory on, and things go sideways. Her and her friends have to hide under an underpass, and some of her friends that are with her lose their lives. And so she internalizes that experience, and she just cannot escape the guilt that her mistake cost her friends their life. She literally can't move forward with her research anymore. She can't move past that experience. And then years later, the movie goes, one of her friends that survived comes back to her, tries to get her back in the game, says they got new funding. All they need is her crazy good intuition into how to track a tornado so they can get close. She agrees to do it, right? And there's this critical moment in the movie that we use in our jumping off point for Sunday, where she's in the game. They found a tornado. They're about to, deploy the mechanisms to like track it and get ready to apply her research. And they say, hey, which direction is it going to go? Here's your chance. Like, this is where you kind of step in. This is why I asked you here. This is your moment. And she freezes. She literally can't step forward because her past is holding her back. Even after all that time had elapsed, she could not move forward because of what was back here in her past. And so this movie does a great job highlighting a similar truth that has spiritual implications for us. We all have things in our past that hold us back from where God is trying to lead us. There are steps in our walk with God that He would have each of us take, but something back here in our past keeps us from taking our steps today. Maybe you've heard the phrase, we are some of our past experiences. I mean, this kind of touches on this idea from the movie that suggests, hey, both the good and the bad, whatever's in our past, they shape who we are today. And that has significant implications, for us today, because not everything in our past is good. You know, we have the worst of us that's in our past, very much like Paul in Philippians 3 touches on. I love it. You know, Paul says, brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. If you know Paul's past, it was not positive. I can't imagine the things that Paul had to wrestle with after coming to know Jesus. I mean, he had to look in the eyes of the families of the ones he persecuted. I imagine he had deep sorrow, maybe wrestled with guilt and shame, but for sure feeling the weight of what he'd done. And so sometimes holding on to the worst of us can hold us back from where God is trying to lead us. I love the imagery that Paul says, you know, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. He's using this athletic imagery here of a runner in a race. Nobody runs forward while looking backwards. That's not going to turn out well, right? We strain forward. We forget what's behind. And so, you know, we talked on Sunday just about three areas of our lives that can be the worst of us that hold us back. And I don't know if it's, hey, has your, you know, if it has my past shaped who I am today? I don't think it's a question of that. I think it's more of a, how has my past? Like, let's just assume our past, we have stuff, you know, either how we were raised, stuff we did, ways that God didn't deliver or meet our expectations. Like those are not awesome things. That can be some of the worst of us. I think the question is, how have those things, when they happened, shaped who I am today? Was there beliefs about myself? Oh, I did this thing. I can't believe this. The way I was raised, hey, I didn't get a lot of love or care, or emotions were modeled for me this way, or just, it can be almost an infinite things with our upbringing, right? That can be the worst of us. But how has those things shaped our beliefs, our operating system that we carry in today? And how do those things fall out of an alignment with who we are in Christ? That's hard work to do. I don't say that lightly. It's like, hey, you probably have an answer and you can trace those lines back. It takes a lot of contemplation, a lot of pleading and prayer with God. God, show me my blind spots. Because for us, you know, we're at a disadvantage. Our stories are our stories. We grew up with them. We lived through them, right? And so no big deal. This is just normal. This is how I operate. But for God to reveal a blind spot, to say, yeah, you are like this because of back here. You learned this back here, but I'm trying to do a new thing in you. See, that thing, that way you think, the way you, carry this guilt and shame, the gospel speaks a better word. That's who you were. This is who you are in Christ. And so it just takes a lot of work. Sometimes holding on to the worst of us can hold us back. And then, you know, right previous to verse 13, the whole 3-9, it is in chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul gives his resume of resumes. You know, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Israel, a zeal, you know, as to my zeal, I was a persecutor of the church, as righteous under the law, blameless. But whatever I had, I counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. So not just the worst of us. He didn't say, just forget what lies behind because, you know, I have a horrible past where I used to persecute the church. But even the best of me, like I had it made. And that too, had I held on to it, would have kept me from knowing Christ. I count it all as a loss. I think, you know, in our culture and our city and time, you know, a lot of people are successful. The ways that they've had to, just control and accomplish and whatever successful lives they built for themselves. A lot of the stuff that goes into that, a lot of the parts of the equation, the people that we have to become are also out of line with who we are in Christ, right? You know, maybe you just like, hey, I rely on myself. I trust myself. I can get it done. I don't rely on people. And then you have the Lord and you're like, well, yeah, it's hard for me to trust God. Right? Because that's part of the best of you. The best of you has worked out really well in building our kingdom on earth, maybe. But God's talking about a different kingdom. And so it's very easy to draw value and security and comfort from the best of us. But that's in Jesus now. And so sometimes holding on the best of us can hold us back from growing and flourishing and thriving and who God is calling us to be. And lastly, we just talked about that it's not in holding on to the best of us. It's not holding on to the worst of us. It's about who has a hold of us. And so I love this. And Paul says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. What's he saying here? I'm reaching out to take hold of Jesus because Jesus first reached out to take hold of me. Who we are in the gospel, the steps God wants us to walk in, is not rooted in the worst of us or the best of us, but who has a hold of us. Our faith, our relationship with God doesn't start with us. It starts upon us. If you're a Christian, maybe you can look back on your life before you knew Christ and you can see God's hands taking hold of you. Oh, this situation, this moment. I wasn't reaching out to him, but he was reaching out to me. And maybe if that's not you today, be encouraged. If you're at a point where you're like, I want him to take more hold of me. I'm definitely open to it. And I desire for him to come after me more and more. Be encouraged because that kind of openness is impossible without God having already started a work of coming to grasp onto you. Because Jesus said, no one can come after me unless the Father draws them in. And so if you're going, God, I want you. God, I'm reaching out. It's only because God has started to reach a hold of you and grasped you. And so this is important because this is the place we build our entire lives. This is who we are. Our foundation is not on what we've built on in the worst of us or in the best of us. It's built on Christ coming and grabbing a hold of us. And there's no other foundation that will last, that will anchor our eternity, who we are. It's in the gospel, our gospel identity. So that's what we talked about on Sunday. I know it's a lot. It's maybe deeper. I hope you have a chance to go back and listen to it. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us on the Drivecast recap. Hope you have a blessed rest of your day.